Welcome to another episode of the Miami Comedy Podcast. How are you? Yeah, we are back. In case you missed it, make sure that after this interview we've got going on today with Carlos Hernandez, you go check out yesterday's episode with Yanis Pappas. I've decided to start interviewing some comedians here, either visiting or locals, like my good friend Carlos here, because that's what the podcast is all about. It's all about bringing together the community of comedians that keep the laughs going in the city of Miami. And I've got to admit to you guys, man, you know, I've been doing comedy 12 years, and I feel as if the more I do the virtual stuff, the more I'm beginning to enjoy it a little bit, almost to the point that I think it's going to fully replace me doing live stand-up. Now, will I continue doing live stand-up? Yes, but I'd rather focus more on going virtual with you guys. So I want to give a big thanks and a welcome to Odalis, Argente, Getchen, Vikes. Welcome back, guys. All right, this is the brand new platform to be an entertainer. Oh, and how convenient it is to go live anytime you want to just say anything that's on your mind with whoever the hell wants to get on with you. All right. And in this case, this comedian, I don't know if he knows how to go live. Let me request here. I see him here. What's up, man? What's up, man? Send request. There you go. All right. Let me give this guy a proper intro. A good friend of mine, a local comedian here in the city of Miami. Not only is he a master at speaking multiple Latino accents, he's also gained recent notoriety on American Idol, playing the very entertaining and hilarious Yuri, currently working with Only in Dade, and he's also performing tonight at the Miami Improv. Now, rumors have it that tickets are already sold out for tonight's show over at the Miami Improv. And, you know, what can you do, you know? The one, the only, Carlos Hernandez, ladies and gentlemen. What's up, Carlos?
What's up, buddy? How are you? Thank you.
All right, settle down, everybody. Settle down.
Thank you.
What's up, man?
Chilling, dude. I'm running little errands before the show right now.
What kind of errands you got to run before the big show, man? You don't got an assistant running the errands for you yet?
You know what, dude? I'm looking for applicants, so let me know.
Yeah, I'll send you in my resume via DM.
Please. That'd be great. No, I need a, you know, I'm at the mall. I'm about to go to International Mall just because it's the closest mall around here. And I never go to International Mall, but, you know, it's just if you need a quick, you know, little like cheap jacket, I think it's the place to be. You got Kohl's, you know.
You're getting yourself a brand new attire for tonight's performance. That's how serious
it is. It's just a little jacket.
Right.
Like a light jacket, you know what I mean? It's a sold-out show, you know?
Yeah, you got to put on a blazer or something, right? I mean, at some point, you're going to be walking out with a mink coat on 88-degree weather. Fuck it, right? Just got to let these people know.
That's what I do, man. That's what I do. I want to be known as that comedian, the guy that wears too many jackets.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I ever reach a certain level of fame, do you know how much of an asshole I would play every single day? Like, it'll just be an act. It'll just be me, saying exactly what you said. Hey, send in the resume. I'm looking for an assistant, right? To people that are probably doing it 50 years in. I'd be walking around with a coat on. Yeah, dude, I think, you know what's fun about getting some sort of notoriety? The fact that you can pretend to be something that you're really not, but have fun with it to the point where it's a next level entertainment. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Like when you play Yuri, I love the fact, and I've told you this, like, I love the fact that you just do like the I'm going to be straight up Cuban and I'm going to have fucking fun with it. And you are, bro.
It is. It's so much fun. Like people ask me like, oh dude, were you nervous when you did like the American Idol stuff? And honestly, I swear to God, I never really got nervous. Like I was just like, I'm just having fun. I'm improvising with like,
that's awesome,
Katy Perry, Lionel Richie, and like and Luke Bryan. So I was like, I mean, this is dope, the fact that I'm even getting to do that in the first place. So I was like, I just got lost in the character, and it was so much fun to just be able to play that, you know. I was like, it was like an acting gig. So like,
and I saw that. I saw it when I was watching you play Yuri for the first time. I can really see that you were having so much fun with it that exactly like you said, like you get lost in it. You kind of like go with the flow, and like anything that gets thrown your way, you handle it easily. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean that's like the like through like the years of like improv training that like I've had. If I hadn't had that, I wouldn't be able to do any of what I did.
Let's get into like, your background actually, because in case you guys don't know, apart from the notoriety at American Idol and playing Yuri and doing stand-up, Carlos also is the rapper, right? You rap,
freestyle, yeah.
You freestyle. you play characters on commercials. You're a very like versatile comedian. Like, tell us your backstory. What got you into comedy?
So I started in comedy back in 2015. I took my first like improv class at Just a Funny in Coral Gables, and ever since I was like in love with SNL. I was like super infatuated with like Key and Peele, Matt TV, Mr. Show, all these different sketch shows and a bunch of different comedians that were just all over my realm. And then I just decided like I'm gonna go all in. I was still in college at FIU going for like a whole entire different career, but I just decided I'm gonna take classes. I was 20 or 21 at the time in 2015, and I was like, I was the youngest person in my class, and I stayed being the youngest person in my class for a while. And I thought I was already too old for it, which is like ridiculous when I think about it. But I was like, I'm 20, I don't know, you know, but it was just, I had to do it. And it was the best. Once I did it and I took my first class, I remember telling the teacher like, hey, I just want you to know, I'm not doing this for fun. Like, I want to do this for my career for the rest of my life. And even he didn't do it for a career.
Can you imagine if you're like the class clown and then like you get like suspended or you get like, I don't know, detention or something, be like, this is what I want to be. You guys are stopping me from who I am.
Like, you don't understand, right? You're like at the principal's office and you're like, no, this is my career. Like,
right.
I'm speeding up my steps here.
I threw a wet piece of toilet paper at the blackboard because this is who I'm supposed to be.
It's true. We should think of it that way when we're like putting this kids on detention.
Right.
You know?
Right. And you should ask yourselves, like, when you threw a taquito in the back of somebody's head at 100 miles an hour, do you know what a taquito is? Is that the word? Right.
Of course. I mean, I know what a taquito is.
Okay. Just making sure the reference is correct. Yeah. When you threw a taquito in the back of somebody's head at 100 miles per hour, now were you bullying them or were you just.
It was career, bro.
Yeah. It was. I did it for a laugh.
Correct. Yeah, that's how you know, man. But I started through improv. I did that, and then like I slowly got into doing stand. I became part of the main stage cast at the Just a Funny. I started teaching classes like very early. I was 22 years old, teaching like 30 somethings and all these different people classes in improv, and I loved it. I was super passionate about it. I still am. And then I got into stand up in like 2018, at the end of 2018.
You know, the combination of improv and stand up. A lot of people don't know this, but it's a really good combo. Like, I've never really dabbled too much in improv, but when I did, I took one class, I think like 2015. Yeah. I took a year-long class.
And
my crowd work was so on point that year. Like, I remember I didn't even do material. Like, I was just like going with the audience. Like
crowd working. It's the best, dude. It's the best. That's why I love Judy Spell. Half of it is just like crowd work. Like, it's just like being silly and like being that.
Yeah, there's even a video of you doing a child's party. Tell us about that experience.
Dude. Yeah. That was crazy. That was like this kid that was like a huge fan of Judy Spell. And then like the grandmother, I have a music video called Mi Abuelita, which is like, you know, it's like a song I made for the character of Judy Spell. And I put out the video. And the grandmother, that's an actress that I've worked with, like in micro theater on these different productions that I've done, she played my grandmother, and she knew this kid that kept like DMing me consistently on the Yuri Spell account. This like 12-year-old. He like made his own version of the music video. He lives in like North Carolina. It was amazing to watch. I was like, dude, I'm gonna start selling like Yuri Spell Halloween costumes for October. Like, that's, I didn't realize that children were gonna react to something this ridiculous.
You never know where a gig could come from. You can meet a grandma, and next thing you know, you're riffing while someone's beating a piñata on their eighth birthday.
That's exactly what it was. She's like, hey, listen, I know this kid, and like he loves you. They would want to hire you for like a party appearance. And then I went, and it was an incredible experience, dude. Like, this kid was like infatuated with this character. He was like doing the moves, all the shit. So it was dope to do that in the first place. But yeah, man, it was just sick experience. And then I got other like little party gigs from there, Drury's pretty much just became a clown, which is what he should have been from the first place.
Well, what's great about your current career path is that, like, you're really accelerating. And because I think the reason why is because you know what you're capable of. Like, you figured that out early on, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I've seen you when you started. Yeah. Just to interject. Yeah, I've seen you when you started, and you've got it down pat, like, from the get go. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that kind of, like, got to figure out their comedic voices, but you already know that you were, like, a character, or, like, you had, like, that kind of energy. Right. Like, as a kid, you did characters on your own, right, without even having to be on stage. Yeah, I figured as much. And then you go on stage and you've got, like, these movements, and you've got this way of, like, acting out your material. Yep. Like, how do you balance that kind of energy where it's like, I got to move, I got to act, I got to be somebody? And how do you balance, like, I got to write and do the presence on stage thing? Like, what's your genius like?
I think what I go to is, like, I write the jokes, I write the material, go for more, but I try to also interject, like, you know, the different, like, just different movements that I could incorporate it into, like, the joke. Like, if I'm doing a joke and I'm, like, explaining it, I'd rather show it. So I've always learned that through improv. Like, in improv, they tell you, like, you know, words are worth a dollar, physical actions are worth $50, and emotions are worth $100.
Nice.
So I started applying that.
That's brilliant. Anthem.
So, like, words are not going to give you the amount. And I always, like, I talk a lot, and I, like, mumble my words sometimes too. So it just became easier to, like, just think of it of, like, as much as you can do physically that you don't have to use those words, and as much as you can show the emotion with your face, I think it's going to be worth that much more. So that was kind of, like, the main thing I did with that.
Say that again. What's the dollar amount of your performance? Because that's actually really good.
Yeah, so a dollar is worth, so we're worth a dollar.
Okay.
Physical actions are worth $50, or like you know, how you would feel in a physical way, how you would act in a physical way. And then $100 is emotion-based. And I think that works
perfect
in improv and comedy in general. So
yeah,
it's huge. And also with acting as well.
I think of, like, what comes to mind is, like, you know, Rudy Wilson, right?
Of course.
You know when Rudy, like, says his joke, even though it's funny, like, what he says, like, is he funny, but the fact that he laughs just makes it even funnier, right?
Of course, and his laugh is hysterical.
Yeah, it's so contagious.
I could watch no material and just watch him laugh. and he'd be killing either way.
But I wouldn't have noticed until you pointed out exactly what you said, because I thought, I was like, oh, his laugh is contagious, but it's what you're saying about your dollar amount thing, like, that's well said, man.
100%.
We got to get the word out on that one. All right. We got a request.
What's up?
Lily S. Michelle says, sing Bad Bunny. Give us some Bad Bunny.
Oh, great. I'm going to open with this. Yeah. Baby, ya yo me enteré. Se nota cuando me ve. Dame donde no hay. Yo perreo sola. Ten, 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 ten. I'm, like, mixing it up. Yeah. Estoy a mi peak. Hey. Estoy a mi peak. I'll give you a medley. Yeah.
There you go, Lily. Monchery Danny says, Lily, what made up, you Lily? Think of bringing the character of American Idol to life? Like, what inspired Yuri?
Oh, well, I started doing that character since I was already in Just the Funny. I started doing the character, like, doing sketches with it. We used to do this thing called Love Machine, where it was, like, we would bring people on stage, and it was, like, if they were, like, gonna, like, it was, like, The Bachelor show, but they would be, like, it would be, like, a lady blindfolded, and then, like, three characters would come out, like, pretty much giving their lines. It was, like, an improvised written thing. And Yuri's Bell was born there. Like, I was just, like, doing hip thrusting, and I would come out to a Gente de Zona song. I would say, like, my introduction was, like, this next Bachelor used to be the fourth member of Gente de Zona until he got fired, but now he's selling croquetas at Miami Dade College. He wants to live an American dream. Give it up for Yuri's Bell. And that was, like, the intro to the character. And then it was born with that, and then I brought it to American Idol because I had a producer that reached out to me, and he was like, hey, we're looking for, like, TV moments in the show. Is there anything you think you can do? And then I brought that idea into it because I thought it would work perfectly. And, like Latino trap and all this stuff is so famous right now. And it's in, like, the national, like, level, that I thought it was going to be something cool to brought in. And now I'm, like, living with the character too. I'm doing a lot more than just American Idol, you know, why not?
Yeah. And it's fascinating to see how a voice, sorry about that. It's fascinating. Hey, hold on. Let me put on Do Not Disturb. There we go. It's fascinating to see how a voice can turn into a character fairly quickly, right? You also are known to do, like you also got some sort of notoriety from impersonating a lot of Latino dialects. And all right, so tell us about how you knew you were capable of doing this, because it's pretty impressive how you can see the details in how Latino sounds.
Thank you. I think it's because, so my dad used to do this thing where, like, when he was, or like growing up, not when I was growing up, I would always see my dad that he would match people's accents when he was on the phone. And I would always make fun of him for that. Like, he would always match the way they spoke.
That's awesome.
No matter what. And, you know, I was born in Mexico. My parents are Cuban and my dad's Cuban. So when I would see him talk more Mexican, I was like, what's he doing? Like, I was like, that's not how my dad talks. And then when I would see him talk to a Venezuelan person, I would be like, what is he doing? Like, you know what I mean? And then living in Miami and, like, you know, my, I have cousins that are Venezuelan. I have girls I've dated that are Colombian. I have, you know, I have my sister's boyfriend's parents are Argentinian. So I have all these different places that I have, like, a lot of interaction with all these different people that I love from Miami, that, you know, I'm able to, I've been able to kind of match their voice. Like, I'm not great at, like, impersonating an actor, but, like, at impersonating a voice that I hear, or, like, with an accent, I think I'm pretty good at that. And I think my dad is kind of good at that too, without him even knowing, which is where I got that from. And then, yeah, just being in Miami in general, I mean, you can find all these people in, like, less than, like, a 5-mile radius, and you'll find, like, all these countries. So,
right. What kind of characters do you, I remember we were riffing and we were thinking about ideas about, like, in the future, since you already established Yuri, that you're going to start making characters on your other voices. What do you think will be the next voice for your
character? The next voice? I really always wanted to do, like, a Colombian soccer player that never made it.
That's great.
Yeah, something like that has always been, like, on top of my head, and I might do it. Every time I post the Colombian accent, which I love, there's always, and you're Colombian, so I don't know, like, I don't know, you can judge it too. Everybody's always like, oh, yeah, you just sound paisa, that's not Colombian. And these, I don't understand how that makes sense. It's like someone's like, yeah, you sound like you're from Washington, not from the United States. It's like, what?
Right, I think paisa is, like, the countryside of Colombia. So, like, someone said a really funny joke about me and Colombia, because when someone asked me, he's like, where are you from? And I go, Colombian. And the person I was with was like, Manny is to Colombia the same way a fake crab is to crab legs.
That's hilarious.
And I'm like, yeah, you know what? There's some truth to that. But from what I know is paisa is like the countryside of Colombia, where, like, the people are still, like, herding cattle and they eat, like, fresh food from that area. But it's still correct.
What I do, right? It's still Colombian. But whenever I've done it, like, I guess the people that I know are, like, more from Medellin or whatever. So that's why they're like, oh, it's not. That's not how it sounds. That's not how it is, or whatever. So I don't know.
In my experience, talking to Colombian women, they kind of, like, diss you with just their inflections of their voice.
Oh, it's amazing.
Have you ever macked it to a Colombian woman? And, like, they just make you feel like you're still a child.
Like, dude, my closer is about that, about how, like, Colombian girls, they, like, are able to, like, just do so much with that accent. They don't realize how powerful they are. And,
they make you feel as if, like, did I go through puberty? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like, what are you, what? Dude, I'm telling you, dude, my closer is about how Colombian women, like, even when they have you, they still want to make you jealous. They want to make sure that you're jealous no matter what. They're like, that's celoso or whatever.
It isn't culi cagado. I mean, my accent sucks, but, like, they use this word called culi cagado, which means, like, you're
culi cagado.
You're like a baby with, like, a shitty diaper.
A shitty diaper. That's exactly what that means.
Yeah. I remember it was one time my dad and this waitress at an Olive Garden that was Colombian, they were just roasting me, like, just my dad just joining in with her. And she called me a culi cagado, and I looked online, I was like, that bitch, I should have asked her to speak to her manager.
That's hilarious. The white woman came out of you. That's great.
Yeah, I wanted to turn into a Karen.
That's amazing.
But I've never dated a Colombian woman, because of, I think, really? That they've just brought up in a very special way, because, like, my dad had a lot of Colombian friends.
They
like,
are.
Whenever they would they come.
Are. I've dated, like, 3 Colombian women, and
they're rough, crazy, man. They're crazy. Very strong women. Very hard to date. They know what they want.
Them, truly. They do.
We got and a question here. Let's see.
And your liberty. Yeah.
Lorenzo Stan says, any tips to build your confidence to your work?
Any tips to build your, I think, okay.
All right, a little more specific. Take it any way you want.
Yeah, any way to build your confidence to your work. I think you got to be doing something that you like. You got to be doing something you love. If you start doing something that's like, you know, you feel like it's out of your comfort zone, that you feel like you're doing just because they asked you to do it, or you're like, I'll do this because, well, Carlos did a Spanish accent challenge, maybe I'll do a Spanish accent challenge, or like, you know, whatever, like, or like in any way, shape or form, like do something that makes you laugh. If you're going to do comedy, do something that makes you happy, what you enjoy seeing, do that. And then because you know, you're doing it from a place of like, you've studied this or you know this because you are taking it in, then it's going to come, the confidence is going to come through. It's going to be apparent because it's something that you know you're doing well because you've already put the time in. So whatever you're putting the work in, the confidence comes with that. If you're not putting any work, then confidence is not going to come through with that, because what do you have to suffice? Like, what do you have to hold and prove that you're good at that? You know what
totally.
I mean?
Yeah. Well yeah. said, man. When it comes to like comedy, I think maybe if Lorenzo was going through the direction of like what gives you confidence in comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's finding your sense of humor and like doubling down on it. Like when you correct. Found it fairly quickly, like I can tell like you knew exactly what your sense of humor was.
And yeah, kind
of. What prevents a lot of people from pursuing comedy is that they worry if their sense of humor is good enough. You ever notice this? They worry what other people think if they try to put like what they find funny out there and share it.
Gotcha.
They're like, well, people think it's funny, and if they don't think it's funny, will I humiliate myself? And they worry about humiliation. You and I, we know that like in order for you to be humorous or funny, you need to get rid of humiliation. Like that shit goes out the window. And I can tell that is out the window when you go out with those shades on and that big gold chain. I'm like, yeah, this guy does not feel humiliation. It's almost
exactly. At one point, it got to just like, dude, the other day I had to, go to an audition. Like the casting director was like, come in full Yuri Spell gear. Cause they wanted me to like, I'm like auditioning for this thing. Still in the process, fingers crossed. But like that they wanted like Yuri Spell or a Yuri Spell type of vibe. So I was walking around Brickle, walking around with the full Yuri Spell outfit. No, not Brickle, like outside of Wynwood.
Yeah, you blended right in.
They towed my car, dude.
What?
But they towed my car, so I had to walk around Wynwood with all the whole outfit. So I was just like, this is great. Like I had to wear a chain, the glasses. I was full on Yuri Spell outfit. So I was like, this is great. I mean, this is just like Yuri in real life. And someone actually recognized me as Yuri Spell while I was walking.
Well, of course.
It was amazing.
Yeah, American Idol, dude. It's one of the biggest shows. That's great, man. Let's see.
Yeah, but it was kind of humiliating, but it was fun.
I see here. What up, Curse and Blessings? Leo Mahia. All right. Karen. Oh, shit. Karen's here. Says, Carlos, I saw you at the Umbrella opening for Kayvon. You were awesome. No, you are
thank
awesome.
You. Current, thank
present
you, Karen.
Tense.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. That was like 2 weeks ago.
Mishingo.com says, what tips do you have to prevent discomfort when you have a boner with tight jeans?
That's a great question for me because all I wear is tight jeans and I always have a boner. So, no, honestly, just like wear the right amount of, wear the boxers that fit the best, dude. I started wearing, I used to wear MeUndies, but those don't really work, dude.
MeUndies sponsorship right there with that one, man.
I know. I shouldn't have said that. No, but there's other ones that are bigger and better now. So that's fine. There's like Hawthorne has underwear too. There's a lot of different ones.
All right. So let's put you in a scenario to kind of like answer this one a little more specifically.
Please, go ahead.
Let's say, you know, you're waiting for an audition, right?
Yes.
And they call you up and you know, you got to perform in front of all the other people that want to audition plus the audition director.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's apparent that you've got a bulge that looks like you got a boner in your pants. How do you handle that situation professionally?
I would probably go to the bathroom and I would like adjust whatever I need to adjust.
No, they just call you up. There's no adjustment.
Oh, I already have to go. Step up. I already have to go up.
Yeah.
I would play it into the scene.
Right. Exactly. That's what I was gonna say. I was like, I got into character because I'm assuming this guy is a sex hound,
right? So the character may be like, it could be anything. I could be playing like a character in 1980s that he's running for president, and it could just be part of it. Like I could just be like, I'm sorry, I'll play into it.
Yeah.
Come on,
it's method acting. You know, presidents aren't perfect. They get horny too.
Yeah, and the casting director will be like, that was such an interesting choice because no one's done it. And
right,
that's what they're looking.
And you'll stand out, right?
And you will stand out.
So exactly. It's like,
you want to stand out.
It's either we get Harrison Ford or the guy with the boner.
Exactly. And they'll be like, well, he's cheaper. All right.
Yeah, let's get the guy with the boner.
That's my goal, dude. That's my goal.
All right. Well, let's see. Tonight you're going to be over at the Miami Improv for the Only in Dade comedy show. What's the full lineup? Yeah.
So the full lineup is going to be Oriel Rodriguez.
Very funny. Very funny.
He's great. He's great. We put him up on the page like 3 weeks ago, and he got so much engagement on that joke about creative jobs in Miami. It was hilarious. So Oriel's going to be there. Brittany Brafe is going to be there as well.
Another Marcello, funny, right?
Really funny. Brittany Brafe is hilarious from New York. She's awesome. She's killing it down here in Miami. Marcello was supposed to be there, but he unfortunately can't be there today for he had some a work trip. But I will be there as well. Cisco Duran is going to be there as well.
One of the best hilarious. In Miami.
HBO Latino special, probably one of the best comedians in Miami right now. And Mark Vieira is going to close us out.
Oh, the very funny Mark Vieira. Very from funny New Mark York. Vieira. Is he a local in Miami now? Was he a Miami comic yet?
I haven't seen, I think he's been in Miami for a little bit. He was touring around Florida last time I checked. And I'm not sure I think he lives in Florida. I'm not sure. I'll report back after tonight, but I do think that.
You should announce it on stage. Like just, even if it's not true, you'd be like a brand new Miami comedian.
Oh, that'd be fun. I love when people do that. Yeah. Like
it's all
like,
the way from Miami.
Yeah, all the way from Miami. Well, on Mr. Red, who is like a celebrity.
I didn't know Mr. Red was on the lineup. He's on there.
He's hosting the show.
Oh shit. That's great. You guys got a strong ass lineup. And
it's gonna be a good show, man.
I know you mentioned this that tickets are sold out.
Tickets are sold
out.
So
we're promoting a show that's sold the fuck out. However,
yeah, but there's two things that we could no, go ahead.
No, that's not you're saying it. However,
two things. Number one, there's also a party after the show that you guys can go to, that you guys will be able to attend. It's going to be a blast and a half. DJ Africa's hosting. It's at Copper Blues afterwards. So come out to that. It's going to be a blast. And also, I have a little announcement here too, Manny, if you allow.
Yeah, for sure.
Say that. I just got the okay on this opportunity that was given to me. And I'm going to make the official announcement on my page tomorrow. But on
an exclusive
announcement, July 1st, this is the show so tonight's show is with Only in Dade. It's going to be a great lineup of comics. July 1st, Carlos and Yudis Bell are going to have their own show at the Miami Improv.
Oh! So,
yeah, man. Yeah. July
1st. You know what you should do? You should make it like a magic trick where you and Yudis Bell step on stage at the same time. Like, well, how the fuck did that happen?
I contacted the Tupac, the person that did the Tupac, whatever that's called. Where I forgot what they did. What was it again? It was like they brought out like a, I forgot what that word is, where they bring up a, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway,
no, I don't.
I'll just have somebody.
I'm thinking of, you know what I'm thinking of?
They made Tupac like in like.
Bull- oh, the hologram. Yeah, the hologram. Yeah, yeah. Hologram. Now I know what you're talking about.
I'm doing a hologram of myself. Yeah, I'll just ask Jake Paul to gain some weight and then he can play. Either one of me. That'd be great.
When's your first show?
I have my own show.
When's your first show? July, right?
July 1st is the first show. It's gonna be a blast. I'm trying to do it something very different. It's gonna be a variety show. So I'm gonna make it feel like the Tonight Show meets the Eric Andre Show meets like, you know, it's gonna feel like very chaotic but very fun, controlled chaos. I'm gonna also have some stand-ups, might do some improv as well. Might do some freestyle rapping, and then Yuri Spell is going to close out the show with some songs and some crowd work and stuff there. So it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a really good time. And we just confirmed that at the Improv, July 1st will be the first one, and hopefully keep doing them.
You're talented enough, man. You're getting traction. I'm sure it's going to be a hit. You know, I'm always there for you, man. If you ever need anything, or if you need me to go on stage with you,
hey, man.
I'll sell a lot. Man. I'll play a Colombian guy with a bad accent. I'll do it.
I know you will.
I'll just give you a drink ticket and some French fries. I'll do it. All right, guys. Check out. Well, the announcement that I was going to make that I thought you were going to make. Check out the live stream for Only in Dade's show tonight. Where can they see the live stream?
So you guys can watch the live stream for the Only in Dade show. We're going to be posting that on our page. Check our stories for that. You can do a swipe up and you can watch it on YouTube, on Facebook, and we might be able to stream it on Instagram. We're not sure about the Instagram, but for sure we're going to do it on YouTube and Facebook. So that should be all good to go. If you didn't get tickets, go to your live streams on Facebook and YouTube on the Only in Dade page, Only in Dade account on YouTube, and you can watch it for free.
Awesome. Carlos, thanks so much for being a part of the new interview series of the Miami Comedy Podcast, man. Congratulations on all your success.
I appreciate it.
Much more to come.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
And yeah, man, it's just great to see
you. Thank you for having me after Giannis Papas. I feel it.
Yeah. Great. Sorry I couldn't get the flyer out on time, man. I kind of did it on a last minute whim. I was like, I got home. I was having breakfast and I went to a museum right after. And when I got back, I'm like, hey man, just go online at 6. We'll wing it. But yeah. we'll be doing much more interviews in the future as your career progresses and you'll be getting more shows and stuff. So thanks again for taking the time, man. I appreciate it, Carlos. And congratulations on everything, man. All right. It's really good to see what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much for letting me go up on stage whenever I want to at any in your shows. Not whenever I want, I get there in ample time.
So far. you can also catch Carlos on our shows on a nightly basis. This guy just shows up at 10:25 and we got to end the show at 10:30. So make sure you check out the late night show to see Carlos going up. Thanks again, Carlos. I'll see you next time.
Thank you, Manny. Appreciate you, bro.
All right, everybody. That is it for the Miami Comedy Podcast. Let's do some reads. This show is sponsored by the very talented insurance agent that is Ellie Uvinas. He is a subject matter expert in the world of health insurance, so use him as a resource. If you have any questions, he has answers. The people he helps the most are those who do not have health insurance because they believe it to be unaffordable, and those who do have health insurance and are complaining about how much it costs. All right. He can help anyone, anywhere with anything regarding their health insurance. So call him today, 305-335-3944, or email him at Eliuvinas, Eliu.Vinas at ushadvisors.com. Thank you, Eliu, and thank you to everybody tuning in to the brand new interview series of the Miami Comedy Podcast. We'll see you at a show. Have a great Thursday. Bye, everybody.